Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
Okay, listen up. I'm going to tell you about a potential beef between a Bay Area beer maker and Irvine-based In-N-Out. It now appears to be all wrapped up. It started when Seven Stills claimed on its Instagram page that it was coming out with a milkshake-flavored beer called In-N-Stout with a canny similarity to the Burger Chain's iconic palm tree cups. But rather than go animal style on them, In-N-Out sent a tongue-in-cheek cease and desist letter, stacked with puns.
I wonder if that letter was a rough draft.
Oh, boy. Hey, comedian here. Jeff got in on the act. That was pretty good. Yeah.
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Jonathan Kite in studio, one of our favorites. Does all impersonations. You know him from Two Broke Girls, Black Dynamite, very funny movie, NCIS. That's Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Good, you know him from last year's Ace Awards.
The last year's Ace Awards.
Oh, yeah,
Awards.
Big winner.
That's right.
Big winner.
Good.
Held him at my house.
Good to see you again.
Great to be here.
Does Obama and Trump and Seth Rogen and Vince Vaughn and, of course, Paul Giamatti, which we love. But I'm curious about your special, which was filmed in your high school.
Yeah.
Back to school special.
Yeah.
Which it sounds diabolically funny to me.
Thanks,
and your
man.
Teachers helped you put it on. So tell me about that.
Well, I haven't been doing stand-up that long. And when I wanted to do a special, people always said, you know, they offered me a lot of great clubs to say, why don't you be there? And some of them I hadn't even played. So I thought, Why would you guys choose those clubs? And then I got a lot of answers from different comedians saying, well, this is the club that broke me or that gave me my first opportunity. And I think, like, where was the first place that really gave me an opportunity to perform and kind of find my way? And that was my high school stage. Yeah. So I hit up the high school and I said, would this even be possible? Could we do it in the auditorium, which seats like 1,000 people? And we would hire like a band to sit in the orchestra pit, like a school band off to the side.
That's good.
So good.
And, we built 24, well, we had lockers delivered on stage. And so that was the backdrop with like a chalkboard, you know, it looked like the Peanut set. And then the bell rang, the school bell rang to start it. And then I came out of one of the lockers and that's how we started the show.
Did you go to Evanston?
No, I went to Niles North, which is very close.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it was great. It was super fun.
I was horrifying my wife and kids. Well, mostly my wife. The other night, because my kids are starting junior high, and my wife said, I want to get them straightened out in their lockers. Like, I was always a thing with problem with my locker, and I didn't know the combination locker talk. And so she bought them combo locks and stuff like that. And I said, oh, yeah, my move with my locker at Walter Reed Middle School was it didn't have a separate lock. It was built into
right.
the door.
Yeah, it wasn't a padlock.
Yeah. And what you do, the move is you would open your locker, take some cardboard and you'd shove it in the mechanism, like you'd wedge it in there, then you'd shut the door and you'd spin the thing around, then you'd go in the handle, and then you'd like go to the hall monitor or whatever, and you go, this thing's jammed. And then they'd go, we keep, it's always weird, we have one pair of pliers for 8,000 kids.
Who's got the pliers? There's one janitor and he's off today.
Mr. Hensley has it in his office, but his office is locked. I'm like, well, we better go call Mr. Hensley and find out where he is. And then I'd burn like 20 minutes trying to find some channel locks or something. And then we get the idea that these self-imposed wounds, like, oh, we're talking about Pepillon?
Yep.
We usually are.
Yeah, when he was getting off the ship at like French Guiana, he like threw himself down the gangplank to injure himself so he'd go to the infirmary and not have to go like
general
into the
pop.
Hole with the general pop. That's a version of what a young Adam Carolla did at Walter Reed Elementary by jamming his own locker.
Did it hurt you, you think?
Scholastically?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think if you
Your
hear
mom never
about
got
a
that
student
bumper sticker
sabotaging his own locker, I think
it's an indicator.
Yeah, that bell's already been rung.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably a bad student. I didn't see a lot of the Asian gals engaging in that behavior. Let's put it that way.
We had in my school, there was people who would literally have hunchback style backpacks, so they never had to go to their locker.
Mm-hmm.
They just had the books with them every day.
Anything to avoid the locker.
Exactly. So that they never missed a class. But then I'm like, they have scoliosis.
Right.
In the long run. So it's like, what did you need that for?
Were you a good student?
Define student. No, I was fine-ish. I thought that I was going to be an actor. So I didn't really pay attention as much. I think I was a much, much better student in college than I was in high school or junior high. Because I remember thinking like, oh, I won't need this. Like, right. like an athlete.
Yeah, the
scouts will be here to see me do Hamlet.
The biggest problem, I mean, there was a disconnect or a logic problem that all us horrible students had. When I remember people like verbalizing it, where the teachers would say to me and the rest of my sort of blue collar idiot friends, like, hey, one day, she knew we weren't going to college, but she's like, one day you're going to be working. Like, you'll be out of here in a year or two and you're going to be working. And you start pulling this crap, showing up late, leaving early, pretending you're sick and not, you know, sloughing off. You do that in front of the boss, you're going to get fired. You're going to get into trouble. And we'd all look at each other and go, we'll be getting $7 an hour. And when we're getting $7 an hour, no, I'm not going to be late. And no, I'm not going to screw up.
Money.
No, I'm not leaving early because I'm getting $7 an hour. If you were paying me $7 an hour, I'd be here right on time. And of course, the same guys just went on to be the world's worst employees.
Yeah. Right. That was, even with that incentive. And then you get there and you're like, how come it wasn't eight?
Right. Yeah. Pay me $10 an hour. Well, be here on
seven.
Time.
Come
right.
on. What is this, school?
Yeah. It is.
You develop those skills.
Yeah.
Good and bad.
Good and bad. And we went the bad route.
We had a college professor that was really, I think, smart about it when people were slacking off. He was like, you're paying to be here. He goes, I don't care. I mean, he goes, I care because, you know, somebody paid your tuition and that's my responsibility. But at the end of the day, he goes, when you get out of here, no one will care about you. Mm-hmm. This is probably the last stop on the care train.
That's good.
Right.
And I thought that really I think that really connected with a lot of
resonates.
People. Yeah, because some people do things because they think they can get away with it or they think that that will bring them a different type of attention. But he made it very clear. He's like, I'm going to keep teaching. You'll either learn it or you won't.
I'm tenured either way.
Exactly. That's what he was saying. He goes, I ain't going anywhere. Yeah. He goes, I wish you knew how much they were paying me.
Yeah. When did the impressions kick in for you?
When I was a little kid, my mother, who used to work for Clear Channel Radio, would bring me to her office, and I would go get a little box of Dunkin' Donuts, the Munchkins, and I would go around and do a Bill Cosby impression. Not a chloroform rag or anything. It was more like a vocal thing. And I would do Peter Lorre. So I did like two little impressions. I don't know why. And then I didn't do them for years. And then when I was in high school, there's this guy named Mr. Shutt, who's since retired, who taught English, and whenever he would be absent, we would convince the substitute teacher to let me do an impression of him to teach the class for the day.
Oh,
that's good.
Rich.
So that was fun. But then it wasn't until like about 10 years ago or maybe like five, six years ago that I even started doing impressions for a job.
Peter Lorre was the kind of sidekick of the evil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The limping.
You know the type.
Yeah.
He was guilty. Yeah. He had a face that just said, I did it. He's like the guy in the first half of Law and Order who probably didn't.
Right. He's the henchman.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Well, let's hear a little Peter Lorre.
Oh, hello, Adam. I didn't know I was going to be here today. I would have put out my cigarette, but, you know, this is the 40s and everyone smokes.
Casablanca.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's classier Peter Lorre.
Right. He was great. I mean, I loved him. I idolized him as a kid, and I just thought he and I had the same sleepy Salvador Dali clock eyes. I was like, this is me. I can do this. You know? And so he was awesome. But he was in everything. He was like Arsenic and Old Lace, The Maltese Falcon, M, which is unbelievable Fritz Lang movie. Yeah. So I thought like he really had a face for that.
What year did he die, Chris Maxpata? And I'll tell you why, because I always think about these guys, these black and white classics and working opposite Humphrey Bogart or working for
64.
Yep.
Oh, he made it. He didn't. Well, he wasn't that old, probably.
No,
he was 59. Oh, yeah. Okay, so he died young. So if he died at 80, he would have made it to 84.
Yeah, he was born in 1904.
And I always think it's funny picturing these guys watching like a Spuds McKenzie Bud Light commercial or something
too.
Like in the 80s, or seeing a Jitterbug phone, or like seeing a salad shooter or something. Like their whole life is this romantic black and white Casablanca sort of thing. And I picture them at like 82, sitting home, and Jocko from Down Under has hit the scene, or just some weird, crazy '80s. Like, it's a Swedish bikini team, and like Max Headroom, and they're like just dying, going, what the?
Yeah, this is entertainment.
Like, I've thought about that so many
times.
Super
80s music, Spuds McKenzie.
Like, cable, softcore.
Cable, neon everywhere.
Why is it Skinamax?
Yeah, Soft Cell and Depeche Mode and Flock of Seagulls, like, blaring in the background of everything. And
yeah, because everything was so one way for such a long time. And then it just blew up, and they all sort of died before they had to deal with it.
No one's wearing hats anymore.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's not a single or a double-breasted suit.
Everyone's wearing cargo.
Hawaiian shirt to dinner?
How about guys like the Barbarian Brothers or something, like the bodybuilding guys that are wearing the... Remember the tank tops for bodybuilders?
Yeah, like half shirts.
Thin straps.
Wearing the purple zebra striped pants, like MC Hammered all the way.
They looked like they ripped the sleeves off
the
Fly Girls.
Yeah. Leg warmers. Paul Abdul's at the top of the charts.
MC Scat Cat.
He's just Peter Lorre just watching that.
It's the Paul Abdul video, and he's like, how? What is this cat? This cat is wearing clothing?
You're right. So
like
this will be
out of a coma.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to bombard you with this shit, and then you die. Okay?
That's what his tombstone said. Thank God I died before leg warmers.
But you think about all these people that were in this sort of golden era of whatever.
Yeah.
And they all, you know, if they made it to 75, 80, 85, they all died in like the mid-80s. Yeah. And that's all. They're like, who's Brian Bosworth? And then they died.
Yeah.
This guy's got a mohawk and like an earring.
That's the last thing he whispers on his deathbed. Who is Brian?
Police Academy it's 6. It's on his tombstone.
Yeah, it's all that shit. Like Arsenio's getting out there with his dog pound and everything.
My grandpa passed away maybe 5-6 years ago, and a couple years before he died, he had like, I don't know, 8 or 10 grandkids, because I was younger than me, great grandkids too, and they're showing him the iPhone, right, iPad actually, and they're showing it to him, look grandpa, look what it can do, they're showing all their games and all the Angry Birds and everything, and he's looking at it, this is a man of 88 years old, let's say, and he's looking at it bewildered, old fire captain, right, so he's a blue collar dude, and he's looking at it and he goes, oh, I'm getting off just in time.
Wow.
That's real good.
First, he didn't understand a tablet. So I could use this to set my mug of Postum on or a tab? Is that what you're saying?
Is this a mug warmer?
Put Manhattan right on top of it? Or
yeah, I would love...
Grandpa.
I don't know how we do this, but one of these days, we got to find out like the most iconic. It's sort of like... It's kind of... I don't know. It's a little bit of my sort of Agnes Moorehead Bewitched. Like, these people are the stars of Broadway and the stars of theater and blah, blah, blah. And then at some point, they end up in a horrible sitcom just before they die playing the goofy mother-in-law,
I got the bar. We'll try and beat this, but I got a great example. Orson Welles, the last thing he did before he died.
Was the wine commercials?
No! Was the voice of Unicron in Transformers
was the movie.
And he was so confused that he was quoted right before he died, like, I'm the voice of some horrible robot who does horrible things to other horrible robots.
Wait.
I'm a can opener?
Yeah, he's confused.
What year was that?
85 or 86.
Or Orson.
Right around there, though.
Yeah. He died like months after he recorded the vocals.
Mm.
Orson Welles
was
funny. Unicron.
I will tell you guys.
Because that's what the kids want to hear.
Yeah,
that'll bring some panache.
The kids in the theater.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
A certain
huge
cachet.
You guys remember Rosebud that I keep talking about. He's in this.
I want to thank Simply Safe for this half of the show at simplysafe.com/Adam and Geico as well at geico.com. And let me hit you with some Simply Safe. Here's why I'm a big fan of Simply Safe Home Security. It's prepared for everything. If a storm takes out your power, it still goes on. Your phone lines get cut, soldiers on, still works, keypad destroyed. Simply Safe is ready. They'll get you the help you need. Maybe you don't want to prepare for the worst case scenario. I think I would, people. You'll wish you had this, man, in the middle of the night. And Simply Safe is the best. There's two eyes in there. It's always ready. It's just $14.99 a month. No contracts, no hidden fees. I recommend SimpliSafe to everyone I know. Go today to simplisafe.com/Adam. We all have it here. Dawson had it when he was a renter. Now he's an owner. Popped it off. Took it with them. Try doing that with a hardwired system. It's impossible.
I have it too, by the way. When they heard me talk about how easy it is to break into my house and murder me, I got one too.
And
I'm
look at
super
you.
Super excited. I'm still here.
You're still alive. SimpliSafe.com/Adam is where you go. Brian, who do you got?
More info on the Orson Welles thing. So here's a quote from about the Transformers experience. Orson Welles was in declining health during production. Shortly before he died, he told his biographer, Barbara Leeming, that he had spent the day, quote, playing a toy in a movie about toys who do, quote, horrible things to each other.
He's not wrong.
No. And that's
how he told her he spent his day.
That is perfect. I still, just the idea of seeing Brian Bosworth with an earring, the kind of earring that's, it's not enough just to have a stud. You need the dangly earring.
You need a dream catcher.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not enough that you just glance at my left ear. I need you to go full tunnel focus, like full big mouth bass.
I need 5 minutes of your time.
On my low.
Yeah.
On my low. Yes.
It's going to give, it's giving him neck problems as we speak.
Bosworth, by the way, one of the, we got to find the show, Max Zapata. One of the biggest mistakes Jimmy Kimmel ever made was Fox had a show, and it was a cop, a PI, whatever, like played by his own rules, and it was called like Mr. TNT or something,
and it starred
Brian Bosworth, and it was like aired like Friday night. And it must have been, like, I remember I was back in my old apartment, and it must have been, like, 94. Maybe it was 95. And I remember saying to, like, Kimmel, when I saw him at K-Rock, he said, like, what are you doing tonight? I was like, I'm watching Bosworth special. He plays a cop, or he's a bounty hunter, like, plays by his own rules or whatever. You know, one of these guys, they thought this was great. Like, he has the weapons closet where you open the drawer, and everything's all lit up and everything, and you get to choose which crazy weapon. And Lawless, 1997. Oh, it was a little later. Yeah. John Law is, you know.
John Lawless.
Was his last name Lawless?
Yeah.
Wait, was his first name John?
The series centers around John Lawless, an ex-special forces operative who became a motorcycle-riding private investigator in Miami.
He was born to do this. There was nothing else he'd be qualified for with that last name.
Well, I always love it because I know how TV writers work. Like, let's make this guy's a cop, right? Yeah. Okay. Let's make his last name Justice Perp. And then you go, well, that's a unique name. Yeah. Well, I don't know anyone by the last name of Justice Perp, especially in law enforcement. No. We'll give a first name a John. Then we can get away with that. We'll give a super simple first name.
Yeah. I thought you were saying that his name was Justice and his last name was Perp.
Oh, well, that'd work,
too.
That's
ridiculous.
Two on the nose. No one is going to believe that.
Mr. Perp? You wish.
He's Lawless. He's on a motorcycle.
But he goes by the book, right? He's strictly by the book.
Hey, well, no badges, no rules. No problem.
No badges, no rules, no problem.
Plays by his own rules.
No jurisdiction.
I said to Jimmy, I'm watching Lawless tonight. And he said, why? And I said, because it's not like we're going to have an 8-year run of Lawless. This could literally one episode.
He's
could
shooting
run.
Star.
Now, they probably picked up 8.
Sure.
But this is going to be a train wreck. No. And this could just be one. And then I'll be the only guy.
Canceled mid-episode.
It'll pull the plug mid-episode. And I think it ran for an episode. One.
You didn't know how good you had it.
Canceled after one episode.
One episode.
Do you know how bad a show has to be?
They shot the whole series.
How many episodes did they shoot?
No, I'm saying, Adam, you saw the whole series.
I saw the whole series. You got to
binge
find out
that whole series in one night.
Yeah, someone sends us
the box set. It's just a sleeve with just the one disc.
Right. It's like on a dust jacket. It's just an explanation of what happened.
It's an envelope.
A leaflet.
It get cut off in the middle of the explanation. Even this leaflet was canceled.
What would it sound like if Paul Giamatti was John Lawless playing by his own rules?
Well. Most people don't know this. I was on hold. I was supposed to be John Lawless. The part was written for me. Oh, Paul. Oh, GMI. It's a college nickname from the frat. I was on his Paul John Lawless Giamatti.
We got to unrelease footage. Get in here, Lawless.
Get in here.
Bring your badge.
I'm
and your
coming.
Gun.
I'm coming. I got some bunions on my feet.
Oh, we'll do like what they do with the Lost audition tape.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, this is Paul Giamatti
uncovering
for auditioning for John Lawless. I'll be his commissioner. I'll be your CEO, your commanding officer. Lawless, my office now.
Give me a second. I stubbed my toe.
Listen, Lawless.
I'm coming. I'm still down the hall.
Lawless, I need you in my office. Stat.
Hold on. I'm picking up and eating a Pop-Tart.
Lawless, I got the mayor. I got the city council. I got the DA. They're all up my ass after you shot up that cafeteria.
Let me tell you something. Number one, you got something better than them. You got me. The number one no rules guy in the world.
Yeah, I don't think you get it. We have rules here. This is a professional police force. You can't just get on that hog. By the way, we have helmet laws in California.
Have you seen my head? It's like a ping pong ball.
I don't care. You think
it's got dense, but it keeps going.
You think that swinging earring's going to protect your whole head? We have helmet laws, and we have rules. And I don't need you shooting up any more daycare centers.
Listen, if I think the baby did it, he's going to get it.
Okay, that was good. Now, don't be married to copy. I believed you, by the way. That was excellent.
Yeah, that was directly from script. I didn't improv at all.
Now let's just have fun with it.
All right.
We'll just improvise.
Take a direction.
Give me a second. I'm taking a dump. I'm starting in the bathroom. I'm giving myself a place to go. Sure, you know, in acting school in Yale, they said, you got to give your money
some,
you know.
Some business.
A piece of business.
A piece of business. And right now, I'm doing it.
All right.
Chief, I'm here. You wanted to see me? Sure. I brought a hot pocket.
Okay. Hey,
hot pocket.
Don't think a hot pocket's going to make up for shooting up Knott's Berry Farm.
Let me tell you something. I'm a Legoland guy.
Yeah.
And I will not put up with a competition.
Well, listen,
I look like a Duplo.
It's 1996 and a half, so I don't get the Legoland reference, but moving forward.
I've seen the future. I'm also a psychic in the show.
You're going to shoot up amusement parks. You make sure and don't take out the special needs kids, Lawless. I got the mayor, the city council, and the DA all wanting to eat my lunch.
You know what else you got? Me. The only man with more face than lip.
Okay, we have your number. Thank you. That was great.
I'll just wait outside.
That's right.
Because I'm living in a park bench.
They'll valet your parking out in front. Yes.
Yeah, they valet my big wheel.
And scene.
Real good.
All right. Max Bay, you find out if they shot other episodes of Lawless.
Not a ton of Lawless info on the internet, but I'm looking.
I don't remember it being a special. I remember there was a series.
It was meant to be at least 8 episodes.
At the end of it, they were like, next time on Lawless, canceled.
Yeah.
They prepared that tag, that slug.
Right, yeah. I remember thinking, well, you guys... I remember told Kimmel when I saw him on the next week, I was like, you screwed the pooch, man.
One of us won.
Yeah.
Was it you?
You are going to have to go to New York and go to the Television Radio Museum, Broadcasting Museum,
in order to see this
episode of Lawless.
Or Barry's house.
That's right.
Which he would play in on loop.
That's right.
Didn't they do Renegade? They did a lot of shows like that. Was it Renegade the same plot?
I loved Renegade. The reason I loved Renegade... for the same reason I love the A-Team, now, if you want to find him, you got to go to the L.A. Underground, because he's roaming the Badlands, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Because the military police are on his heels,
right.
He's got federal marshals on his heels. If you take a look at Lorenzo Lamas, he's driving a fully dressed hog. He's wearing a suede vest with no shirt on under
it. He's blending in.
He has no helmet. He's just blazing down the highway. He'd get pulled over. If he drove in L.A., he'd get pulled over 9 times a day just for not wearing a helmet alone.
Safety concerns.
A-Team is driving a van. They got a black guy with 70 acres of gold anchor chain around his neck, and they're driving a custom van, sliding it around everywhere with an orange stripe on it.
Yeah, he looks like a sunken Spanish Armada ship.
Yeah.
How much gold?
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, the reason that Mafiosa guy Whitey Bulger.
Bulger.
Whitey Bulger from Boston was able to evade the law enforcement, the FBI for 20 years is because he moved to Santa Monica and didn't drive a custom van.
With a red stripe.
If he got on a hog and like fired it up every day and didn't wear a helmet or anything, or he hung out with a bunch of other dudes with chains and stuff, he would have been made immediately. He got an apartment. He got like a lap dog and he told his gal, like, don't buy anything over $10. Yep. And that's how he made it for like 25 years. He wouldn't have lasted a weekend with the 18 van.
No. Well, not only that, they were loud, not only in life, but they would take jobs. Like they were sort of looking to help the needy, and then they had an unlimited arsenal.
Mm-hmm. To draw some attention.
Six episodes of Lawless were made, according to IMDb, but only one. We have the Lawless commercial. Oh, boy. It's going to be good. John.
They're too dangerous to be cops. They're too honest to be criminals.
Get away from me, I'll shoot you.
And they're too good to be stopped. Beginning March 21st, Brian Bosworth and Speed's Glenn Plummer are going to make crime pay. Through the nose. Lawless.
He's the man with the blade.
Coming March 21st to Fox.
Oh, my.
Oh, man. You know I wasn't missing that shit.
Wait, Glenn Summer, is it?
Yeah,
he looks so familiar.
You know,
no.
Was he in Oz?
No. I mean, maybe.
Although
I think it's
too
racist if you just pick every black guy and go, is that guy in Oz?
That guy was in Lost. That wasn't him.
Hey, that kid who was on the set of the Seth Rogen film with the blackface, was he in Oz? Is that guy in Oz? No. Yes. Hold on. Showgirls.
Yes.
Bitch.
Yes. Thank you.
I knew it, Gina. I knew I would satisfy like a Snickers.
That is so satisfying.
I knew you'd be satisfied.
I was like, I was going to do a dancing.
I knew it.
Oh, that was so good.
I wish I had this reaction more often in my life. One of the simple victories of life.
Dancing with Elizabeth Berkley.
Well, I'm going to repay you with queuing up the news
all
for
right, you.
So let's
it.
Take
Anything
a quick
now.
Break and we'll come back and do the news right after this. Hey, it's Adam Carolla.
It's Mark Gargis.
We do a show called Reasonable Doubt.
Best hour in the universe.
Sometimes 54 minutes.
And sometimes we've been known to do 48 minutes as well, and sometimes an hour six.
Either way, we round up. Best hour. Like Mark Bill.
It's exactly like in 6-minute intervals, exactly.
Every Saturday on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Subscribe to Reasonable Doubt, the best hour in the universe, with Mark Gargis and Adam Carolla. Every Saturday on Podcast One, Carolla Digital, and Apple Podcasts.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
How badly can a show tank where you have 6 1-hour episodes
paid
like
for
in
it
the
in
can
the
and it's like helicopters blowing up and stuff. I mean, shot in Puerto Rico, like, I mean, these are multi-million dollars just to put on a shelf and just put a rerun of just the 10 of us in there. Wow,
cut your losses.
Because
they think the drop off, a lot of back then when they looked at Nielsen rating stuff, sometimes they would study the drop off after the commercial breaks.
Smart. And sponsors so
they were
pull
going,
out.
Yeah, they're going, no.
Well, I'm better. I'm a better man. I'm a better father. I'm a better podcaster and I'm a better husband.
And
I'm a better community member for seeing Lawless.
Yeah. Somebody had to.
I hope I'm at a party one day. And at some point, I hear in the corner a distant voice go, anyone else see that Brian Bosworth vehicle, Lawless? Sure. And I just go, oh, my God.
And it's Brian Bosworth.
And it's Brian Bosworth.
He's in a disguise.
The
He's
boss.
Like, yes, see that Brian Bosworth thing? You're like, you're wearing a fake beard.
Okay. All right, by the way, website, official Jonathan Kite, just KITE.com if you want to know about Jonathan and dates and shows and projects and things. All right, Gina Grad, what do we got?
All right, well, I'm sure everyone knows by now, but we'll mention it. Aretha Franklin, the self-taught piano prodigy, vocalist, songwriter, who conquered the charts in the late 60s, never relinquished her throne. She died Thursday morning of advanced pancreatic cancer of the neuroendocrine type. It's according to her publicist. She was 76. Now, just to give you a sense of the scope of her talent, just I'm sure we all know, but she's worth a reminder. Notched 77 Hot 100 chart entries, earned 18 Grammys out of 44 nominations. In 1987, 2 decades after her first number one, Franklin became the first woman to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and was later named the greatest singer of all time by Rolling Stone.
She's great, and thank God she'll forever be immortalized in the Blues Brothers.
Yes.
I love that.
That's right.
That's a great song. It's a great scene. It's got everything going on, and I love watching her in that scene. And you know how Dr. Drew gets really pissed about things for no good reason and then doesn't seem to care about anything else?
Yeah.
When Aretha was in hospice care and like people are like, we're tweeting out, we wish her a speedy recovery. He's like, look, when you go to hospice care,
you want your last days to be comfortable.
Yeah. There's people like, hey, we're praying for a fast recovery. He was yelling at them. I'm like, they probably had their hearts in the right place. But once you hear hospice care, don't start thinking, well, we're playing Ultimate Frisbee this weekend. Are you going to be ready?
Can't wait for your new tour dates.
You be ready for the tournament? Because we can get by this weekend without you, but the playoffs will start.
Need to know. Just hit me back. Here's my cell.
Yeah. Hospice care, pray for a comfortable death at that point. Thank you.
So that is that. And I don't know about that specific type, but pancreatic cancer, I mean, she lived quite a long time with that diagnosis, which doesn't happen often. So she will be missed. Well, Matt Lauer is said to be bending over backwards to give his estranged wife, Annette Roque, whatever she wants in the divorce because he feels so guilty for his infidelity, according to Page Six. The former Today Show co-host, who was fired by NBC in November for sexual misconduct, has already agreed to cough up $20 million. Annette seems pleased with that settlement.
Matt Lauer should not have millions and millions of dollars laying around because he fucking brings nothing to the table other than being attractive before his hair started shitting on him. Yeah. I hate to be a dick, but I mean, he shouldn't have amassed millions.
Maybe he got into Bitcoin early.
Then I'm fine.
That explains it.
That feels right.
You want to bring up Aretha Franklin or you want to bring up Seth MacFarlane, and
that.
I just go. Give them all the money they can make. I hate the guys like, here's what you do. Oh, what do? I'm kind of a traffic cop. Here's what's going on over here.
Welcome.
Here are the ears over there. Yeah. And I just kind of usher what's going on. Like, hey, there's kids trapped in a cave in the Philippines. Okay, I'll just go ahead and bring that information over here in a professional way.
Yeah.
But why do we ask questions? And you know they're not worth anything because they shit can them and they just never come back. Like, there's nothing. Like, who cares? Like, try doing that to Mike Judge. See if he just goes home and never. No, he shall no longer create anything. And Mike Judge, LeBron James, Aretha Franklin, they can have as much money as they want because they're creative.
They've earned it.
He fucking doesn't. And I don't know if anyone is going to get paid like that anymore.
Ever again.
But anyway, fuck Mac.
So he has a comfortable $20 million to hand over and things are amicable.
And part of the reason I always hate these guys is. Part of the reason they get paid so much is because they're going to dupe us all into thinking they're concerned and great dads and great husbands and great, you know, when there's a story about, this kid was abused by his adoptive parents and now he's in custody. You know, they look really concerned and really into it somebody cheated on their wife or Harvey Weinstein or whatever. It's like,
tis.
So part of it is tricking all of us into thinking you're a decent dude. And then I always feel bad because I'm like, geez, I'm not happy about the kid being abused, but I'm not nearly as upset as Matt Lauer seems to be.
I go, Matt Lauer and that kid were closer than I thought.
Yeah.
Was he that guy's big brother in the Big Brother program?
Yeah.
He could have stopped it.
So fuck it. I hope she flees him. On the other hand, she deserves nothing. Thank you.
Wow. Real race to the bottom with those two.
Marry a rich guy, you got to go earn it too. I want you both to go earn it.
Yeah.
At least he duped people into making him rich. I don't. She duped him into marrying her. Or I don't know how
they did report at one point. Who knows if it's true? But People or USA, one of them said that he was getting leaned on real hard by the network to get a wife. Because his infidelities were getting a little out of control, allegedly. So, we need to make you look like a family man fast. Mm-hmm. So I think it was probably, you know, he courted her extra quickly.
What a strange time to be alive.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Peter Lorre's thinking, thank God I'm not here.
Just see this.
God, I died. Yeah. God, 64.
Yeah,
I long for a simpler time when they would do that because you were gay.
Gay.
Yeah.
Well, I
miss those days. Peter, were you gay?
Who's asking?
God.
Tony Randall.
And he knows.
We'd like to bump you up out of purgatory, but we're going to have to get some pertinent information.
I'm good with cigarettes.
Cigarettes?
Yeah, he always just
always a cigarette. Always in his fez. All right.
Well, a new policy is coming to the airline, but it has a little twist. Southwest Airlines is limiting the type of emotional support animals allowed on planes. That's beginning in September, and you're only allowed to bring one per customer. Also, the animals must be on a leash or in a carrier at all times. Southwest says passengers will need to present a letter from a doctor or licensed mental health professional on the day of departure. The airline will also limit the types of trained service animals in the cabin. Now, here's where it gets weird. Dogs, makes sense. Cats, okay. And apparently, miniature horses will also be allowed. Since the beginning of the year, American Airlines, JetBlue, Delta, and United have all introduced rules similar to Southwest. I don't know enough about miniature horses to know how they made the cut.
You got to buy that horse a seat.
Where's
it going?
They don't go in the stowaway.
And this is, by the way, how I get tossed off the airplane, because I've had a couple of drinks in the first class lounge, and then I'm sitting there, and I'm up in first, and I'm against a bulkhead. And I got my backpack, and I got my pen, and my buck slips, my cards, and my earbuds and all my shit in it. And then at some point she goes, "You're going to need that backpack to put it up in the overhead." And then I go, "I'll just hold it on my lap here." And then
like
she
hell.
Goes, "We're going to need to." And then I'll go, "Well, what if I stuff it under the seat?" "No, sir, you're against the bulkhead. I'm sorry. Once we get to cruising altitude in 111 minutes, we can get the stuff you need that's in this backpack, like down." And I'll go, "Hey, bitch, there's a fucking Clydesdale that's in." It's in the row. It's standing there in the fucking row. Yeah. What's the deal with the back? Well, in a case of emergency, this could get caught under. And there's a horse. Yeah. There's a horse here. Yeah. So how about I just handle my backpack? I'll just put it on my lap. Sir, I'm going to need that for me.
What's the priority?
That's what gets me thrown off the plane.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So now at least it'll be limited to dogs, cats, and horses. No more peacocks, no more turkeys. So you have that going for you.
What about Gilligan, my pelican?
Oh, that is no longer allowed on the plane. Gilligan, the more emotional support pelican, does
like
not make the cut.
That idea of Gilligan, because you can use his mouth as a carry-on.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have
to briefcase Gilligan. That's why they don't want you to have
him. Yeah, he can hold like 80 sardines in there.
A lot.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't bring sardines, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. The weight of, whatever the equivalent of
yeah,
sardines.
Yeah, I do herring.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Or mackerel.
A mackerel, whatever. Just
or maybe not even fish at all.
Like, will you have the fish? What, chicken or fish, sir?
Shrimp.
Like, I'll have the fish.
That's my favorite part of the Flintstones, when they'd make every animal, like, they'd open the cupboard.
It's a living.
They'd open the cupboard under the garbage disposal, and it'd be like a pelican eating everything.
Yep. I wanted them to have it be a toilet and just have it be a warthog.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And then just going to, and then have that warthog just like, it's a living.
All right. Now, listen, everybody. People.
A little crab lawnmower.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Let me explain something.
On the Flintstone.
Very quickly about society. People are not good, and they're not evil, and they're not really anything but weak and cheap. They have serious character issues, and they're fucking cheap. So if you say to them.
Is this your commencement speech?
The dictionary defines cheap as.
If you say to them, look, you can bring your pets on the plane, but we're on the honor system. They got to be certified.
Like, make sure it's on the up
and
up.
And otherwise, you'd have to pay or stone or not. Or how about this? How about going to Phoenix without your cat? Could you guys imagine going to Phoenix for 2 days without your fucking tabby? So anyway, honor system and go ahead. All right. Takes 8 years for the system to completely break down because everyone's a weak sack of shit. They don't have character. So they go, fuck it. Everyone else is doing it. I'm doing it. It's free. I'm going to get a note online, whatever. And then we have to come in and go, all right, weak sacks of shit who do not possess character. See, we were under the impression
that you would have character and that you wouldn't be, especially once you get in your 40s and 50s, that you wouldn't be a spineless sack of shit who would just game the system any chance you could to save $40. We had no idea. Now, I had a good idea. When all this shit started going down 10 years ago, I was going, no fucking way. This is never going to work because people are weak sacks of shit. This is why we can't give you anything. Because if we give you anything, that's just the status quo for you. We can give you the lunch tickets, we can give you the meal tickets, we can give you the welfare, we can give you the fucking food stamps, and all that is right back to the fucking middle. You got to get out and earn it like the boss. Who saw Lawless here? Hey, show of hands. Show of hands.
I feel like that was a speech from Lawless.
Show of hands.
Right. That was a final speech from Lawless.
Seems like less of you have seen. Now, less than half of you have seen less.
I saw the trailer about 10 minutes ago.
I'll tell you what. Let's just run it
to the other side now.
Let me just run the first episode of Lawless here.
The only.
We got the AV guy. Don't worry. Yes, it's an hour episode, but we backed out to commercial, so it's only like 41 minutes. So here we go. Let's watch that, and then I'm going to get back to talking about what worthless sacks of spineless shit you all are.
Your speech there was the pitch for Lawless.
He's tired of service animals.
He's tired of service animals.
Also, it's funny, you think you have to go back to like blackface and the 30s to find racially offensive stereotypes. You can go in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Go to the 90s. What you talking about, Jab Turkey? Like, you can get, there's lots of good racial stuff from the.
The WWE/F has a rich history in the 80s and 90s of.
Cultural appropriation?
There was a character named Slick who was a pimp, and his intro video, he made a music video, and it pulls in on him, a cold open, pulls in on him eating fried chicken at a restaurant, going like, oh, hey, dear. Like, it is very minstrel show.
Find that in other
it was like
episodes.
88.
Find the episode of Cabessons where Slick was a guest on it.
Slick. You can find his music video.
I wanted to be, you know how they had those wrestlers that you could be for Halloween that came with like the cheapest plastic.
Hell yeah,
mask,
of course.
And then just like a smock with a print on it. I wonder how many Slick costumes sold.
Slick. His song was called Jive Soul, Bro.
That's really? Was he? He was a manager. He wasn't a wrestler.
He was a very skinny old man. Yeah. Yes, he was not a wrestler.
He was a pimp.
He was a pimp.
Right.
The best. You know, everyone always remembers the wrestlers, but the best characters in wrestling were the ones who managed them or pinned them.
Mouth of the South, Honky Tonk Man.
Jimmy Mouth of the South Heart. Bobby the Brain.
Yeah,
the Undertaker's Paul Bearer.
When we talk about, you know, an easy job, it's not the wrestlers, it's the managers. That's the job you want.
He plays John Paul Bearer. He's a wrestling coach who plays by his own rules.
Get Slick's music video. John Paul Bearer.
All right, let me tell you about Geico. All right.
With the chicken.
Oh, we got the video. All right. Let me tell you about Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance and you don't have to go anywhere? You go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket. It'll be the most rewarding thing you do all day. Chris has it. It is Geico. We all have it. It is geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. We have that video.
There's a long one. Opens with him eating fried chicken and like talking to the camera, like, "Oh, hey there." It's very offensive.
What year?
88.
Yeah, so
could
we
be
got
90,
well into the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, late
with all
80s.
The offensive
at
stereotypes.
Least.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a different one. I'm just being told.
Come on, come on, find that one. You got to find the
we'll find that one.
We'll find it. We got time. Go ahead, Gina Graham.
All right. Well, one of the four Vermont Democrats seeking the party nomination to run for the governor in fall isn't old enough to vote. According to the AP, 14-year-old Ethan Sonneborn met the requirements to be on the primary ballot and is taking his place with the state's more age-appropriate candidates. He's going to do that in the primary ballot.
Does Vermont have the transsexual
running? Is that Connecticut?
No, I don't think it's Connecticut, and maybe it's not. It's one of the hippy dippies over
there.
Arizona?
New England. No, it's New England.
I'm kidding.
No, I don't Arpaio. Think so. It may be.
You're
Vermont.
Right. I
we'll
think it's
figure
up there.
It out.
So the Vermont Constitution doesn't have an age requirement.
Man, when's the Boz going to run for something, man? I'd get my vote. Hey, you got the job done, man.
Well, let's see what this little boy has to say. Sonneborn said his decision to run grew out of his frustration with the state and national politics. Here's a clip of him explaining further.
I was a legislative page this late winter and early spring. My second day as a page.
Oh,
was
you're right.
Sorry, you're right. Looking right now.
we're looking at a transsexual.
Transgender.
Transgender. What is the difference between transsexual and transgender? Or is that just part of the fucking left assholes having to correct me all the time about shit that's the same?
I think one has to do, one, at least at one point, one had to do with an operation and one had to do with just living that lifestyle.
Okay.
Right?
Well, that, yeah, we can look at transsexual. It used to, there was the cross-dresser.
Or transvestite.
Is transvestite out, by the way, as nomenclature?
You never hear that anymore.
Transvestite
yeah. Rocky Horror's having a tough right. time.
But here's the deal. Transvestite dressed as a woman, but a transsexual got the operation, I believe. You got to look that
so
up.
So transsexuals are people who transition from one sex to another, like a person born as a male can become recognizably female through the use of hormones, surgical procedures. Transgender is a term for people whose identity, expression, behavior is associated with a sex that the opposite sex.
It's the same fucking thing, right?
Well, what I think has transsexual to do with an operation is like, yeah, and one doesn't. Operation,
no, you said operation on the first one.
Yeah, right. Transsexual. But transgender, unlike
is transsexual, how you identify.
Is your identity. Like, I could be a transgender if...
How badly did we need the word transgender when we already had transsexual? But just saying he didn't. So would you say transgender if they were pre-op?
Yeah, I think transgenders could be transsexuals too. Like they,
of
like
course
it's
they
like,
could.
Yeah, it's they fall under the same umbrella, but the other way around doesn't work.
All right, we had me a transsexual. Yeah, this is everyone just trying to fucking correct everyone all the time and keep them off their fucking heels.
It's hard to follow.
Now I don't know if this person is undergone the surgery or not, but anyway, so
but everyone's trying to keep a really straight solid face with this little boy.
You have a 14-year-old guy and a fella that used to be a gal that used to be a fella, and they're all in the primaries
in the
here.
Sure, yeah.
All right,
so yeah.
But by the way, you're welcome. This is what I'm talking about. This is the race. It's crazy, the race that has this has that.
Yeah,
okay.
Vermont. All right.
Hippy dippy. So what did he have to say?
So, yeah, here's his, and there's some music in the background just
from
the news station.
I didn't know that was Brian looking for his wrestling video or what. Why is there music?
It just came with the news story. Mm. Couldn't get it out.
Hey, the page was the Parkland school shooting. And I think we have to move to a system where we put safety first. And I think it means we tackle mental health issues. I think it means we tackle school safety issues. And I think it means we tackle gun issues.
And his
boom.
What's that face? What are you doing?
It's
what
just
is that?
Like that kid's gonna get put in a locker as soon as he gets back to junior high.
And his campaign staff are all like his little friends from high school.
All the bullies are hanging around, going, "You're so lucky we can't get your fat ass into this locker. When we get bigger lockers,
it's your ass.
It's your ass."
That looked like a Disney show pitch.
It did.
It really
like
did.
First kid or
the
something.
The littlest governor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What position is he running for, governor?
Yeah.
Oh my.
And then who's the trans person?
I don't know her name.
Who's run? And then what have they figured out? And you know the ironic. You know what's ironic? You'd think that trans person could count on Caitlyn Jenner's vote. No,
not a Democrat.
No.
Christine Hallquist
will not endorse.
No
She'll
way.
Not endorse. She's a Republican. I love that story. All right. And we don't know what they've done. All right. Good. Vermont is, man, are they out there?
That's Bernie country, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
All right.
You got slick.
Hallquist is 62.
Slick.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
One more. Oh, no, wait. What do you got? You got the...
Brian's got a sweet video.
Yeah,
Brian's
got a sweet computer. Video. Just give me 10 seconds.
All right. Well, let me tell you about Castrol Edge, and then we'll do that. Castrol Edge, man. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown, the enemy of your engine. Maximum performance. That's what you get out of Castrol Edge. Friction results in a loss of performance up to 10%. You don't need that. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. You're going to change that oil. Get the good full synthetic stuff. Get the Castrol Edge. I use it here. I use it in my race cars. You should use it there, too. Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine. All right, we got the video. Now, is he eating chicken here?
This is a cold open.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Oh, geez, eating chicken. All right.
That is very zoomed in.
Very tight.
Tight zoom. Oh, he just, like, looks at the camera. directly, and then...
Hey, oh, man, hey. What is this? I can't believe it. I can't go anywhere without bright lights, television cameras.
And this bucket of
but
chicken.
But I don't blame you. I mean, after all...
He loves shit.
I love how they're trying to hide the label.
Yeah.
The hottest album in the country right now, Power Drive, the wrestling album, too.
87.
Of which yours truly is featured with the number one hit on the album,
If
Jive,
he's alive,
Soul, bro.
Does he have all his limbs right
you
now?
Know what?
Just putting it out there to everybody.
I don't blame you for following me around because, after all, I can beat Coco Beware singing.
Yeah.
I can beat Robbie Dupree singing. I can beat Jimmy Hart singing, and I can beat them all. And not only can I beat them singing, but I can beat them dancing, too. As a matter of fact, I can dance to Jackson dancing, brother. And you guys won't even let me eat my yard bird in peace.
Well,
shaking a drum stick at the camera.
Everybody singing and dancing, then you just check this out.
This dude's 30.
Give me a drum roll, please.
Chicken,
beat the chicken.
Still alive, 60 years old.
Wow. All the limbs. Oh,
there it goes. Yeah.
It's actually a pretty sweet song.
He looks good.
No
good
Beastie
outfit.
Boys, but it's pretty good.
Well, I met this lady and I told her quite a story. Said I love her forevermore. But the trouble is I tell the same old story to every girl that walks.
Another close up of his mouth.
Too much.
Start talking at your money. This girl, hey, you get out. And she got to her feet and began to shout. You a jive soul bro, a jive soul bro.
Everybody.
You're always lying to your friends.
Come on.
You a jive soul bro, a jive soul bro. Well, you never get nothing in the end.
Pretty sweet jam, actually.
What you talking about? Pretty self-deprecating.
All right. I missed that hair.
1987.
Wow.
Won't even
Covered
let him eat
a lot of
chicken.
Ground on today's show.
9-year-old balding Brian.
You know, a lot of people, when you talk about guys like that, they worry about the bitches and the hoes.
Sure.
I worry about the pillowcases. I feel like that guy destroyed a lot of pillowcases with that hair.
A lot of
the activator.
There's a lot
couches.
Going. You would not want to. A
lot of soul glow going on
into the Red Roof Inn the day after that guy spent a long weekend.
A lot of movie theater seats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
I want to thank Simply Safe. Great with home security. It's not a pain in the butt. It's easy with Simply Safe. And it's ridiculously easy to use. No hidden fees, no pricey contracts. Get your Simply Safe. Two eyes in there, simplysafe.com/Adam. Great sponsor, great guys. All right, let's see. Go to adamcarolla.com for everything you need. Go to bosstonesmusic.com for all the Bosstone dates. Go to Jonathan's website, officialjonathankite.com, and you can find out where he's going to be and what's going on with him. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dickie Barrett, Jonathan Kite, Gina Grad, Bald Brian. Oh, wait a minute. I just want to give a little love to a podcast one show. Jack Vinick and Alexis Linkletter. Sorry, check that out. Every Wednesday, The First Degree, only on Podcast One. Until next time, where was I? Dickie Barrett. And Jonathan Kite, Gina Grad, Bald Brian, say mahalo.
This is entertainment.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. We'll see you on August 29th at the Ice House in Pasadena. Special guest, Dr. Drill. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, please call 888-634-1744 and get everything else at adamcarolla.com.